Hey, everybody, it's Ben and Rob. We're your hosts from Rise.tv, bringing you the answers that will leave you on the edge of wonder. And tonight is the live show you've been waiting for. Bigfoot, extraterrestrials, real UFO photos, odd beings that aren't me or Ben, and strange technology are being reported across the Americas. Brazil is in the international news for politics and protests, but nobody is talking about the alien activity actually being reported there.
That is true. So in this Edge of Wonder Live, we're going to bring you the accounts, footage, and not Rob counts, photo evidence we found that you're going to have to see it to believe it. Plus, we'll show you an official Bigfoot report and so much more because we found some awesome things related to Bigfoot. So speaking of Bigfoot, that's who's on Rob's shirt. So let's just jump right in and we'll see you guys out
on the edge. And hey, if you're listening to Edge of Wonder on podcast, please leave us a 5-star rating and review and help us reach even more people. Get over that censorship. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Yeah. Thanks you guys for listening and watching. Really appreciate it.
Well, okay. Bigfoot and aliens.
Bigfoot and aliens. Yeah. This is
the stuff Edge of Wonder is made of here.
It sure is. Yeah. And there was even some more Bigfoot stuff that I found just earlier. It was like I was wrapping up everything and then just something popped up and I was just like, oh my gosh, this video just came out actually just a day ago, and Google is censoring it actually. And then we found this amazing document and we're going to get into that all later. But wow, there's actually a lot to talk about, but I think we'll just jump right into the Brazil UFO crash, which I guess it's in this town. I mean, in English, it would just be Virginia, but it's not really pronounced that in Spanish, but that's the way you would say it in English. And it's Virginia, Brazil, not Virginia, U.S.
Got it.
But this happened in 1996. So there's a documentary that just came out, and the documentary is called Moment of Contact. And actually, I haven't watched it yet, and I really want to, especially after researching this for so long, because I never heard of this. It's one of those things where I think,
is it in Portuguese?
No. The filmmaker,
it's an English movie.
Yeah. We're definitely going to show clips of it and we'll show the trailer here, but to give you guys some background on what this is, really, it's one of the biggest UFO cases in South America, honestly. And we don't really know too much about it because, you know, it's not in the US. People who have researched UFOs have definitely heard about it. I mean, to them, this is bigger than Roswell, honestly, and because there was witnesses, there's a lot of accounts of what's going on. But the story is these two sisters, they were young at the time. They were on their own family's farm, and they reportedly saw a UFO hovering over the cattle. One of the sisters was attracted. The animals started going crazy with these UFOs flying around. So they were trying to figure out what was going on with the animals, what was in the sky. And supposedly this crashed. And then they allegedly saw a creature that was like 5 feet tall with a large head, very thin body, V-shaped feet, brown skin, and really big red eyes. And it was like basically kind of wobbly, unsteady. And it looked like it was injured or sick. And then they told their mother and they said they've seen the devil. You can imagine if you're like a little, you know, they weren't little, but let's just say like around 13 or so. You see something like that, you don't really know. You just instantly think it's the devil, you know? So their mom didn't believe them and went out there. She didn't see the creature, but she smelled a very strong odor. There were some footprints, and then a dog was sniffing the area where they saw the creature. So that's kind of
ammonia-like odor. That's weird. Like,
yeah,
that like ammonia only happens, like that smell only happens when something is sort of like there's like a certain type of rot that's happening. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I was going to ask you specifically about that, what you thought, because I know you're very sensitive to smells. Like, we both are, actually. But
I can't remember, like, ammonia. Where does ammonia? Lindsay, can you look this up for us? Like, ammonia comes to, like, how is it created? How is it made?
How is it made? Yeah,
I can't remember.
Because I mean, there's obviously,
to that I think is like must be related.
It is produced commercially one way. You want to hear that? It says it's a catalytic reaction of nitrogen and hydrogen at high temperature and pressure.
Mm-hmm. What about in nature?
But in nature, it comes about naturally too, though. And there's,
but they could. The other aspect is this is where it gets kind of hard because you're trying to describe something. This is in another language. It may not necessarily, they may have used the wrong word. Like, for example, after the hurricane, when it rains, when I go outside, it smells like sulfur, I guess. I don't know how to describe it.
Sewage, bro.
That's why.
One source says sewage. It comes from fossil fuels.
Okay.
It's one of the most highly produced inorganic chemicals.
Inorganic. Fascinating. I was really under the impression that
was more than that.
That did happen naturally as well. And so
I wasn't 100% sure because I know when you mix chemicals together, you can have that smell. You know, that's why certain things are like, don't mix these two chemicals.
And I'll have to look into it separately. But like, yeah, so ammonia is the smells of ammonia and urine are very similar. So it could have been like he like pissed himself when he crashed.
Which could actually be. It could very, I mean, especially, you know, you're this alien being and you.
It was like, oh crap, I've got to get out of my ship. I'm not supposed to do this. Eat himself.
Yeah. Lindsay, why don't you? Okay. So here's the video. Here's the first video. This is the two women who are now like, you know, older, probably more like our age, actually. They would be around our age, Rob. So this was on National Geographic. They're interviewing them and this is their account. Of course, they're speaking Spanish, but there's a translation here.
The Virginia case is considered the most well-kept secret in the military circles of Brazil.
Moment of contact. That's the video.
This film, there's so much going on.
No, Lindsay, sorry, wrong video.
People in 19...
We can play this. Okay. But it's that, sorry, it was the Brazilian sighting one, but okay. We'll play that. Yeah. Actually play this one first. And then that one would be better to play second. So I realized, so let's play this one first.
Purely by chance, I've managed to track down three primary witnesses who reportedly saw the live alien.
Hello. It's her James.
I'd like to start off by saying,
but this is like, you know, the holy grail of witnesses for me. So I am like so happy to be here right now.
Can you describe to us what happened in January of 1996?
Again, this is the two women that are describing their accounts.
So it was around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. This was not the usual way that they would take to go back home.
E olhei, falei assim, só para elas assim, gente, olha ali.
Oh man, look at that.
It was like a little person, but with no hair whatsoever, red eyes, and three horns.
That's fascinating.
To the other girls and started running the other way.
If they all had the opportunity to speak to the world about their experience, what would they like the world to know?
Para mim não foi boa, não. Eu se fosse para me passar por isso hoje, eu não passaria.
They said it wasn't a good experience at all.
Have been through what they have been. Sorry for laughing, but it's like, of course, that's not a good experience.
This long reply, and then he was like, "It wasn't a good experience."
Como isso afetou a vida de você?
All right. Okay, Lindsay, you can kind of stop this from here because I don't want to show too much of this anyway.
Affected everything. Like,
Yeah. So, I mean, they basically just go into the story, and then he's out researching, talking to other people. He interviews former pilots and everything else, which we're going to get into. So, Lindsay, you found some stuff on ammonia. What did you find here?
So this is Fakepedia, but I think their description of ammonia is probably true, that it's found in nature, produced from nitrogenous animal and vegetable matter. It's found in rainwater, other places, and throughout the solar system. So I think inorganic was just that it's not made from living material, and it might be a big producer of ammonia artificially. Like I'm sure it's possible to produce that artificially too. So that's maybe what we read earlier.
So Chicken Coop Lady chimed in, and actually this is interesting. She said, it's not inorganic. Ask Seth. If he doesn't flip his litter for his chickens, the ammonia fumes can kill the chickens.
Wow.
And yeah, so it's coming from organic material, and then it's turning sort of like alcohol or something. But I don't exactly understand how that happens, but I definitely smell that before. And urine is a big part of it, I think.
Yeah, definitely. It is.
So this says it's both manufactured and produced naturally.
And found in Uranus.
Ah, man.
But I don't really understand that. How could they really say, oh, it's found throughout the solar system on Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus? Like, how do they really know that without, it's like, you know.
What does that mean? Right.
If
that was found on Mars, that would mean that organic beings were pissing there. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I know that. Well, this is what I mean. Like, how? Granted, you know, they. I guess they could see certain gases, or you know, but it's. I don't know. I just find that kind of strange. It's like, wait, we know ammonia is found on these planets, and yet it's like we don't know if like life and water, and it's just, I don't know. It's just so funny. They're just hiding so much from us. All right. Anyway. Back to everything that we were talking about here. So, what we saw was this whole thing setting up this moment of contact, which is this documentary that filmmaker Jamie Foxx has. And he said that there is going to be some kind of evidence that will come out of this. Now, I found an interview, what Lindsay was originally showing, I found an interview with him on this channel called That Shelf. And it was kind of a smaller channel, to be honest. But it really was a pretty good interview. And I just want to show like the first like minute of this. But he asked great questions. One about the movie. This is like a 20-minute interview. Obviously, we're not going to show the whole thing. But I actually, after watching this, was like, dude, we got to get this guy on the show because it would be great to have James Foxx on here. So
yeah, that'd be cool.
You know what? I said Jamie Foxx earlier.
I'm going to call you out on that. I'm like,
that was Fox, so my fault. I meant James Foxx, not Jamie Foxx. I don't think Jamie Foxx is into you. Well,
whatever. Just probably, play it.
Yeah.
1996 in Virginia, Brazil. Residents around the city seen a wingless craft going down, billowing smoke. A few days later, some schoolgirls were on their way home and they seen what they believed to be a being. And shortly after, the military descended on it. Now, your film goes into it in greater detail. It has people who were there at the scene. There's just so much going on that even you didn't believe in this story when you first heard about it. So now you've dedicated an entire film to this case. What changed in your mind?
It's a great question. And you're the first one to really give a great, pretty good, accurate synopsis there. I didn't believe it. And it's from a unique situation because I make documentaries on UFOs. I've been doing it for nearly 30 years. So I heard about this case just a couple years after it happened, but I refused to look into it. I heard about it through
a lot of friend of mine, ufologists.
Late 90s, early 2000s.
Haven't.
Like probably 99. Matt, you know, I laughed it off. And that's coming from a guy who believes in the phenomenon, a guy who's making documentaries on the phenomenon. So I know what I'm up against with the general public. I don't expect anyone to believe me because I didn't, right? But the more I dug, the more I uncovered, the more I went, wait a minute, my God, I really believe these people. And I'm digging for them. They're not coming after us. And my partner, Marco Leal, co-producer, he's had boots on the ground for over 15 years on this case. I've been investigating it. I've been there four times since 2011. More people coming forward, more people willing to come forward, and eventually everyone's got a little piece of the puzzle. The whole town of Virginia knows about it, okay?
That's interesting.
The whole town either has a friend or a cousin or saw something firsthand or saw the military blockades or knew the doctor who worked on the guy who died, or, you know what I mean? Like everybody, you go downtown Virginia and we had little signs. We were attracting people. Within an hour or two, we had 15 or 20 different witnesses that were either directly or indirectly involved with the case.
You can stop it, Lindsay. Yeah. So it actually is a really fascinating interview. And honestly, he asked some great questions to Fox there. And, but what's really fascinating is that he gets into some of the people that he interviewed, including some Brazilian Air Force pilots, like former, they're retired now, but you know, and actually that's what New York Post had a really great article talking about the film and mentioning some of the interviews in the film. And one of them was this retired Brazilian Air Force general named Jose Carlos Pereira, I think his name is. And so
they're like the trio with those names down there.
Sure do. So Rob, if you can actually read like his quote here, starting with governments tend to cover up. I don't know if you can see it in the doc there.
Oh yeah. Governments tend to cover up everything they can't explain to their population. Sure. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
January 1996, locals in Virginia, I guess that's how it's pronounced, mm-hmm. reported seeing a strange cigar-shaped object. We've heard about those before. About the size of a school bus, slowly fall from the sky and crash in a field. Carlos de Souza, no relationship to John de Souza, probably witnessed the alleged crash and spoke to researcher Claudier Covo. On camera in 1996, it was floating and slowly losing altitude, he said at the time. It looked like a washing machine struggling, fighting to keep its altitude. The side of it was completely torn and it had white smoke coming out. It wasn't black smoke, like from a fire. At the time, I thought it was an aircraft in trouble, an airplane, so I decided to follow it. Dang.
Yeah, and this is the guy that, like I said, so the documentary interviews a few of these kind of people, like retired Air Force members and whatnot. And that, you know, and that's what the filmmaker, James Fox, is really like talking about in this documentary, because it's like, you know, they don't just have like random people talking about it. It's like these are people that are actually have been... been involved in this in one way or another. And there was another Brazilian soldier that told how he helped capture, I guess, either this alien or one of these aliens during this whole incident. And so a UFO researcher, so this was in an article as well. I don't know if this is in the documentary because, again, I haven't seen the documentary. But UFO researcher Edison Baventura tracked down this man who was a low-ranking junior soldier in 1996. And his name was Salo Jose Monterado. Sorry, I'm really bad with like foreign names, but he said his whole life changed after he traveled with other soldiers from his base to a southeastern base in Brazil. And this was in Brazil and Virginia for an operation, in the details of which for some reason were not shared at all, meaning like he was told what to do. So this is really fascinating because they were ordered to take rifles, but not cartridges for them. And before they had time to land at the right place near the forest, they saw two other soldiers were dragging some unusual creature from the woods. And this is what he said. This is a translation of what he said. Quote, "The first thing that caught my attention was the very large head. The head is completely disproportionate to the body and a very big red eye. And then in those 10 or so seconds that I had to observe it, I noticed that it was quite oily, dark, a reddish, more iron colored, but very oily and a weird smell that reminded me of acetone. Acetone.
So it's sort of like that ammonia stuff.
That sort of like the ammonia. So this is so fascinating because now this coincides directly with what the girl saw. And the smell. Now he's saying, again, this could be a translation. He's saying just one big red eye. Now at this point, if this creature was dead, it's possible that the other eye was missing.
Acetone, I think, is used for, isn't that like sort of like fingernail polish?
That's a good question.
It is. It's like a remover. So it's like
fingernail polish remover.
Yeah.
That's interesting. See, that's what I'm saying. Like, the original translation, they said ammonia, but these things are, it's hard when
but they're all, these are like related.
Yeah. It's like strong smells
toxic,
anyway.
Strong smelling substances, right?
Right. Exactly. And that's why it's kind of hard to say exactly what this could smell like, but you're thinking now, okay, similar. And even color of the skin, he was saying, is similar. So this is, to me, this is like, yeah, all very, very fascinating stuff. And, okay, so we have to play a trailer, but when we get back, we'll show the drawing of what, the witnesses saw. And this was a drawing that was composed in 1996 when the girls described what they saw. So we'll play a trailer. And what are we playing for the trailer?
We have a new, episode of the Seas series dropping tonight. So in a little while, we'll play the trailer for that one, but we're going to play first the trailers for the episodes that are already out. So this first one is about Cthulhu and the Kraken.
Great.
Thanks, Lindsay.
Seafaring voyagers traverse the vast seas, sailing for distant lands, lost treasure, ferocious sea beasts, and new worlds beyond the old. But what if their searches across the ocean surface miss truths that lie much deeper? What secrets hide in the Bermuda Triangle? Why do octopuses exhibit an ethereal intelligence we can't quite explain? Are sightings of the Kraken and giant squids more than mere stories? Some creatures have been found to not just survive, but to thrive at depths and conditions we never thought possible. Which begs the question, what has been written off in history as imaginings or myths that may actually be pointing to other dimensions, alien worlds, or fantastic beings that aren't supposed to exist? Join Edge of Wonder for a deep dive into the cryptids of the abyss.
Mm-hmm. Creatures of the Abyss. That's a fun one.
That is. All of these are fun. So yeah, awesome stuff. And we're releasing.
And we're going to show the newest trailer soon. And just so if you guys are watching us right now on podcast or listening to us on podcast, please give us a 5-star rating and review. We'd appreciate it.
We sure would. We can keep making awesome content like the cryptids of the seas.
Like content about Brazilian dead aliens that smell like fingernail polish.
Yeah. That's so bizarre, actually. It's such a, the weird thing is, it's such a very specific smell. So I'm wondering if their
bodies are just composed of something different.
Yeah.
I mean, I wonder what we smell like to them. They probably don't even smell that because it's normal to them. We probably smell like farts or something to them. I don't know, like milk.
What was that movie? There was that K-Pax movie where Kevin Spacey is the alien, you know? And
I didn't see this.
Actually, it was it's a pretty good movie. I granted, like, now Kevin Spacey sucks, but it actually is a really good movie. If you haven't seen K-Pax, I would highly recommend seeing it because it is really cool. And there's a scene in this movie where this guy says, like, everyone smells. And then he keeps coming up to Kevin Spacey's character, and he likes hanging out with him. He's like, you're the only one that doesn't smell to me.
Yeah.
So, but it's a pretty good movie. It actually really is. And it doesn't really define if he really is an alien or not. And I like that about it. It kind of leaves you, you know, like your own interpretation of it. Kind of thing.
I remember this.
Yeah, it's pretty good. And then who's I can't think of the, is it Dennis Quaid? I don't know. Someone else plays in it, and he's like the skeptic guy, but in another time he played an alien in another movie, and that's why I can't remember.
Oh, he played
Starman, maybe Starman. I think it was Dennis Quaid.
That alien that I remember this.
Really, I can't remember.
I can't remember the name of it. That's crazy. Yeah.
Anyway, back to what we were talking about on the show. Kind of a side note there, but okay. So let's pull up the drawing. They already kind of showed what it looks like, but this is the original drawing for it, or at least their interpretation of it. So, but that's basically what we were seeing in that video. So it's pretty, the interesting thing is I haven't seen anything similar.
It's weird that I wonder if it was just the way that the light was reflecting off of the eyes, you know, that can happen sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've just never heard of gray aliens with red eyes. They're usually black, but if it hits the light hits it at the right angle, you know, and I mean, look, most of the gray alien sightings that I'm aware of have always been in dark areas or night time. Mm-hmm. What if this is what they look like in the day? I don't know. Like, meaning, like, if the light's hitting them, if sun's hitting them, their eyes actually do appear to have some type of color. You know, actually, I don't know if you know this, Ben, but black can only really be made by two different colors as their base. Black is either an extremely dark red or brown, or it's an extremely dark blue. They're made from those bases in organic material. So maybe it's just more of a red eye than it is a black eye, but we just always see it as black because they're always dark, you know?
Interesting. That could be. Or the other thing too,
Inner Space was the name of that movie with Dennis Quaid, by the way. I couldn't let that go.
No, that's not it. Well, actually it's Jeff Bridges. I said Dennis Quaid. Someone in the chat said, no, it's Jeff Bridges. And I was like, yeah, Jeff Bridges. That was it. Okay. And it was Starman. I think it was Starman. Dude, I don't remember anyway, but he played an alien in one of the movies and I can't remember which movie it was.
Jeff Bridges would be a funny alien.
Yeah. So it's kind of funny, but. Yeah, was it Starman? Yeah, it is. Yes, Jeff Bridges. Yeah. I'm right, man. Wow. Okay. Well, I had the movie right, just had the wrong actor. So
I feel like Kate Bush should do the soundtrack for this movie too.
I wouldn't be surprised if she's on the soundtrack.
Yeah, or she's in the movie.
I think it came out in 1980. It was a big Star Wars kind of ripoff, but it was still pretty good. I just haven't seen it in forever. But all right. We will So Starman is 84. Yeah, let's, I'd say what, let's just jump to that because that next one was kind of lame. So yeah, let's just jump to UFO in Italy because this is pretty awesome, actually. I'll have you read the actual article just to kind of give an overview. So an Italian pilot was returning to an Air Force base and he was flying a G91R fighter jet. We have a photo of what that looks like here, those fighter jets. In 1979, it was June 18th to be specific. So he saw something on his radar and he got confirmation that an unidentified craft entered the restricted area.
That's shaped exactly like a cigar.
Exactly. So the pilot activated the camera. So when he got confirmation, he decided to fly around it. And he flew around this object quite a few times. He was only about, he said 70 to 80 meters, which really isn't that far.
That's not far. Not in the sky.
Yeah. And then it was going about, maybe like 350 miles per hour, something like that.
It was traveling at 350 miles per hour or yeah. He was.
Well, it was. Well, okay, I guess he was. He said he was approaching it at about that speed. So he was trying to, I guess, match the speed of this thing. And he activated his camera, which, by the way, this is 1979. Why do we have a better photo of a Tic Tac UFO from 1979 than we do in the 90s with like sophisticated stuff? And it's just this like blimp on a radar.
That's not a UFO. It's a weather balloon, Ben.
Yeah, probably. And also,
so he was able to get close.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's very fascinating. So and there's different photos of this because he took so many photos and he described it as a
Look at that.
Yeah.
It's colorized.
Yeah. So he's described it as a matte, like, you know, like it wasn't shiny. It was just kind of a matte black object that was cynical and
cylindrical.
Sorry. Yeah. And it had a presence of a small. So what's fascinating is that he described it as it had a small white transparent dome, and dome is in quotes because like they didn't know how else to explain it. And it was on the upper side of the object. So you can kind of see it in the photo. You can see the top side of it and it almost has this like round part of it, but it's slightly transparent. So I'm wondering if that's like a window or what would appear as a window, but maybe like more like a force field using some kind of like, you know, technology that they have or something. But it's just so crazy. I this is another thing. I never even knew this existed until I was like researching it the last couple of days. And
it's a bizarre shape for travel. I mean, it is, it both is and it isn't. It is in the way that like these are alien beings with like obviously a high amount of technological like advancement, and they're choosing to look literally like a plain cylindrical object.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird.
It is really weird, actually.
Like, why? I don't understand. I'm not saying they need to be creative. I just think it's strange.
Well, here's the really fascinating part. That's the whole rumor of where submarines came from.
Yeah.
Is this the reverse engineering, but at the time...
Our UFO and then the ocean.
Mm-hmm. But we couldn't get him to fly. And then they realized like, you know, I mean, if granted, and what's fascinating is they were first made by the Germans, right? And the rumor was that Hitler had access to UFOs. So
yeah, how else were they making that Nazi bell?
Yeah. So it's really fascinating when you really think about the stuff in the history of warfare and all these different aspects to our own history and what we know. So yeah, I mean, it's also interesting that the military won't really bring that point up. Like, oh, what is this Tic Tac UFO? What does it look like? Well, actually, it looks like a flying submarine. So, you know, then why submarines are shaped like submarines? Like, why don't they, you know, I don't know. Well, airplanes.
I think the submarines are shaped like that for pressure purposes. This is my understanding. They would engineer those because of the water, and they're going deep, and they have to make sure that they're structured a certain way so that they don't implode because the pressure is so great.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, just interesting little tidbits there. I think what's really fascinating though, when these are being confirmed by military pilots, you know, this isn't like random people saying, oh, hey, you know, I'm seeing this, and this is like a real photo that was taken. So these are like very, very fascinating reports. This happened in Italy, which has their own massive UFO sightings, but Brazil, it's pretty interesting. When you go on YouTube and you just type in Brazil UFO, how many sightings from airline pilots of UFOs there really are. There's so many reports. They're all in Spanish though, so it's hard to like, you know, understand. There's some subtitles, but there's all these pilots in Brazil talking about how they're seeing UFOs as they're approaching, like landing at the airport and whatnot. So it's all pretty interesting stuff. All right. Should we move on to our cryptids now? Still kind of goes along the same theme. You know, we have alien beings, and now we can get into
Well, cryptids. Before we do that, why don't we just play this trailer for Tales of the Cryptids, the Jersey Devil, and then we'll get into a whole lot of information on Bigfoot and something they call the Canada Lynx.
Well, yes, but the Ogopogo is really what we're going to get into.
Okay, Ogopogo it is. Good name, sounds Canadian.
And the Lynx trailer has a connection.
What has hooves? A goat's head. Bat wings. And a forked tail. It's the Jersey Devil, the mysterious cryptid that haunts the forests and skies of New Jersey. But this beast has a story beyond legend. Locals actually claim to be descendants of the original Jersey Devil. What unexplainable things have happened that would convince anyone this creature is lurking in the shadows? Why were Ben Franklin and Teddy Roosevelt part of the story? What kind of devilish, winged lizard beings are really hiding out in the cosmos? Are all claims of the Jersey Devil just a hoax? It's time to crack open the Edge Files and pull out one of our most classified cases yet. As we ask, is this flying fiend real? Find out all about it in Tales of the Cryptids, Episode 2. The Jersey Devil. Only on edgeofwonder.tv.
Well, hey, why don't you tell me a little bit about the Ogopogo?
Well, actually, Rob, before we get into that, why don't you tell us what a cryptid is?
Yeah, so a cryptid is basically, it depends on where you get this definition, but cryptids are basically animals that cryptozoologists believe may exist somewhere in the wild but are not believed to exist by mainstream science. So cryptozoology is a pseudoscience, which primarily looks at anecdotal stories and other claims rejected by the scientific community, while biologists regularly identify new species of species, basically following established scientific methodology. Cryptozoologists focus on entities mentioned in the folklore record and rumor. So Bigfoot would be exactly the king of the cryptids.
And I would say Bigfoot and Loch Ness Monster are probably the two most known cryptid. And Mothman.
Mothman's in America. He's, you know, and werewolves are actually a big cryptid, you know,
well, maybe not so much vampires,
man. They're a dragon or a bat. I mean,
yeah, I guess. You're right. They turn into a bat, so there's an animal right there. So
that freaky scene we were just talking about the other day from what was that? Bram Stoker's Dracula.
That's true. Yeah, that's a good point.
His name Gary Oldman. Yeah.
Yeah, Gary Oldman. Man, he's such a great actor.
No, that was wild.
He really is, like, seriously, I would say one of the greats out there. Okay, so before we get into what the Ogopogo is, I want to bring this up because to me, this is so incredibly fascinating. Lindsay, can you bring up the first record of this Lynx? And I'll explain why this is so fascinating. So this happened in 2020, and a woman spotted a black lynx in like rural Canada. And just play this video. It's not on the surface, it's not that exciting. It just shows this massive black lynx with her dog barking like crazy. You can turn that down. So volume doesn't really matter here. And as you see, it's a really big lynx. But what's crazy is no one has ever seen a black lynx before. This is the first time ever that a black lynx was spotted.
It's not dark gray.
That's black. Not, it's black. It's usually reddish brown or sometimes silver in the winter. And I guess it can kind of appear gray. This is black.
That's a very big cat.
That's a huge cat. Giant cat. This is like bigger than a lion, I would say, actually. It's long. It's just really long. But to me, the reason why this is so important, because how can a cat this big that we all know of lynxes never have been seen before? So right there, to me, this shows that if we've never seen a black lynx before ever with all the technology that we have and everybody, you know, in history, then how can we say these things don't exist?
How can we say? Right.
Like, I mean, these things as in Bigfoot and other cryptozoologist creatures and whatnot, like how can we really, like other cryptids, like how can we say these things don't exist? But yet, you know, it's like just because we haven't seen it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Or have we seen it and these things have been covered up? That's what's so fascinating. So this is where the Ogopogo comes in. So honestly, for those in Canada, you're probably going to say, how in the world do you guys not know? I've heard of it before. I just never really dived into it, doing all the cryptids and whatnot. But it is a lake monster. Usually, so a series of humps, similar to what we would see, like something like Loch Ness or something like that. And this is in Canada's lake, and I don't know how to pronounce it. Okanagan? I'm not 100% sure. But anyway.
Okanagan.
Okay, thank you, Rob. So if you want to read the, here's a little summary of what happened in 1926, if you want to read this.
Yeah, so here it goes. In 1926, 30 cars full of people on the shore of Lake Okanagan in British Columbia, Canada, witnessed something that would haunt them the rest of their lives. A series of huge serpentine humps rose and fell through the calm lake waters, cutting a large wake behind them. All the witnesses agreed that the humps must belong to the lake's resident monster, Ogopogo, making this one of the most credible monster sightings ever documented. 30 cars full of people saw that.
30 cars. Now, granted, there wasn't any photos taken. This is 1926, but it's amazing how many people reported seeing this. So there's this couple that was on this lake, and actually the mainstream media is reporting on this. This is what's kind of fascinating about it. And actually, if you want, you can read this whole thing, Rob.
This is the Dale Hanchar thing.
Yep.
Okay, so Dale Hanchar wasn't searching for a mythological beast when he set sail on Okanagan Lake this weekend. Now, days later, he's toying with the idea that he may have found one. He and his wife, Colleen, along with their friend Myrna Germaine Brown, were enjoying an unseasonably warm day on the lake Saturday when they caught sight of something in the water they couldn't explain. Quote, as a boater, I was just looking to see, is this something dangerous that needs to be marked so somebody doesn't run into it? Like a deadhead or something like that, Anchar said. At the time, though, a small picture on a phone and...
Not Grateful Dead related deadhead. Okay. Go ahead.
At the time, through a small picture on a phone and even looking directly at it from the boat, they didn't quite get a good idea of what was there until they went home and zoomed in. Then they were really puzzled.
So Lindsay, I don't think you showed it yet, but we do have the video. We can play the video, but you can also show the photo of what this
is the Ogopogo.
Yeah.
Well, look at that, eh?
That's good. On their last sail of the season, Dale Hanchar, his wife Colleen, and their neighbor Myrna Germaine Brown saw something shocking beneath Okanagan Lake's surface.
Nice easy breeze cruising out across the lake, and we saw something in the water. And as a boater, I was just looking, you know, is this something dangerous that needs to be marked so somebody doesn't run into it? We went by it. It looked like a log down into the water, but didn't look quite right.
That's when they snapped a photo.
It wasn't until we got home, we got looking at it and zoomed in on it that we were like...
Puzzled.
The horns are three... Those what we call that.
Whoa, look at that. Yeah. That's the head.
Oh, at least 3 feet.
And then it goes out from there.
And, oh, it would have been that big. And that's why I thought if it was Ogopogo sleeping, I don't want to be here.
Now, we showed a photograph to our expert, and he was surprised by what he saw. However, he does have a theory of what it could be...
I mean, basically their theory is that, I mean, okay, when we were talking about it, like Lindsay and I were talking about it earlier, and her thought, well, Lindsay, you said it could be like a wolf that died or something, or drowned and is just like floating in the water.
Wolves don't have horns.
Yeah, but that looks like horns, right? So we were just discussing this because it kind of looks like a wolf's head. They said that it was a bird. That's their scientific community.
Dude, that bird would be literally the size of a gigantic dinosaur.
I just don't understand. Is it like a bird?
Can you zoom out?
Upside down, like with its feet up or something? But it's like that. That's not as. I just don't understand where they're getting a bird. I can. If they said a dead wolf, I'm like, okay. But then again, if it was dead, you wouldn't see the head like that. It would just be like laying there or just like drowned. This looks like it's something is coming up out of the water and it's actually looking at you, or it's like a dragon or some kind of sea creature. So the horns though, that's definitely not ears.
That, like, look at the, like you can, it feels like you can see teeth, like a jaw and a chin, you know?
Yeah. There's a snout or some kind of nose. And then it's like got the eyes.
Nah, dude, that's dinosaur. That's your dinosaur. That might be the best photo of a cryptid ever taken.
Well, I don't know about ever, but definitely in the top five, I would say.
Most like Bigfoot photos are blurry. Most UFO photos are blurry. Like that's a clear photo of something in the water that we can't explain.
Yeah, and it's not a fish. I mean, it's just not a fish. So
it's not a bird either. Like, this is why I never trust scientists. Like, thank you for giving me your scientific explanation, which is the most dumbass thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, I can't bird. I seriously thought they were gonna say, oh, it must have been just a coyote or something that died in the water. And it's like, no, it's a bird. Like,
what, like, part of science?
Where are you seeing a bird?
You think that's a bird? Like, what is it like? A scientist is like too much of a general term. Like that needs to be thrown out.
Yeah, I know. Seriously, it's like let's ask our experts,
our scientist, who is a high school teacher at Manitoba High, what he thinks this is.
Well, I think it's a bird.
Now, I mean, I wish he would have taken video and not a photo, because then we could see if it was moving, if it was just floating there. What was going on with it, right? I think they were just too freaked out and decided to leave.
Yeah, was it moving? Did he say it was moving?
No, you know,
staying still.
I think they just saw it. He just snapped a photo and is like, I don't know. Well, then I don't know. You know, it was just weird because then he was like, we didn't really know what we captured. They saw something in the water. So, you know, yeah, it's interesting. If they would have gotten video of it, we probably would have a better understanding. Although we can see the size, though, you know, the photo is zoomed out enough where you can actually kind of see a size of this thing. And, you know, that looks like as big as at least as big as a basketball. So, you know, it seems pretty big. But
hey guys, how would you know if this were photoshopped? What would you look for in the photo?
Oh, this is not photoshopped. Okay, so see the ripples around the horns? Yeah. That's mm-hmm. something that would be very, very difficult to do in Photoshop. It would actually even look cheesy if you tried to use a 3D program to try to do it.
You would be able to tell it was fake. That's the main thing. And also how the ripples are like, just how they, you know, how they go over the eye, what looks like the eye on the right side. Yeah, right there. It's just like the ripples kind of go right over that.
I viewed that as like some part of the face over here, and then the eyes are back up towards.
Yeah, you might be right. I'm just saying, yeah, I mean, oh, wow. I see. Oh, dude. It just completely changed shape now to me.
So in the front.
Whoa.
Oh, I wish I could get. So Lindsay, put your cursor down by the chin. Okay, that right there, where her cursor is, that white area is okay. A little higher where the teeth are. Yeah, right there. Like, if go across.
It almost looks like it has like a.
Yeah,
like
and
how a dinosaur is like.
That black area, I believe, is like under the eye, the cheek bone, like this. So mm-hmm. like that right there, yeah. And like that black area. And then I think a little higher would be the eye, like around up higher. Go a little higher towards the horn. No, lower. The eye would be around there. And then the horn is coming up somewhere else.
The other aspect is that they would have like – if the news – would have suspected this was Photoshop, they wouldn't even had experts look into it. They would have been, you know, their experts would have, and that's actually what they were looking into. They were trying to see if this was actually a real image, and that was their conclusion. This is real. Yeah, but then it's a bird.
How is it like, I just don't understand how scientists are getting away with calling this a bird. Like, how could you make yourselves any less credible? It's ridiculous. I have such a hard time believing their BS.
Dude, they call every, I mean, look at that, like that creature that washed up, you know, with a long neck, you know, what we were talking about. And they're like, it's a shark. And I'm like, what shark has a long neck? Like, tell me.
Yeah. What the heck?
It's like, it's like
anything. Sciences. They just come up with anything and go with it.
And they're just looking at the photo. It's like anyone can look at a photo and say something, you know, it's like. Okay, someone is saying that it looks like a tree stump. I don't know. I don't really think it's those two horn things. It just
the two horn things throw me off, but I get what you're saying. Like if those horns weren't there, if somebody was like, "You know what? That could be a tree stump floating around." I could buy it, right?
The thing is, their experts didn't come to the conclusion that this was a tree stump. Their experts came to the conclusion that this was a dead bird. So they're like, clearly this is a creature. It's just a bird.
Oh man.
So I just wish they would have said, oh yeah, it's a tree stump.
No, but the best part of that, the best part of the bird theory is like, if you zoom out, like clearly this bird is larger than a Cadillac.
What
the heck?
Figure out like what part is I don't see where they're getting a bird. I just can't. What the heck is the horns if it's a bird? Like I just, unless it's like giant head of a bird, that could be.
Wow.
Then you're right. Then this is one massive bird that doesn't exist.
What kind of scientist said that?
I don't know, man. It's so stupid. We actually cut it off before they said it, but that's their conclusion. They're like, oh, our scientist looks at it and they said,
I don't want to be here.
Now we've shown the photograph to our expert and he was surprised by what he saw. However, he does have a theory of what it could be, if not the legendary lake monster, Ogopogo.
I am not going to lie. As soon as I opened up, I did
have a moment of hesitation, like, whoa, this is not weird, like something I've seen before, because you immediately see the horns. And a lot of
exactly
depictions of lake monsters, people will note horns of some type. At first glance, it does appear to be monstrous looking. You're looking at some head, but, you know, taken into consideration,
Midwest experts
in and the coloration and, you know, the location in which like a head would naturally be in relation to a leg or a wing. It appears to be some sort of aquatic bird, whether it be a goose.
What
or
is
a
an aquatic? Oh my God! Stop! Stop! Like that. What that's is an aquatic like, bird? That's, I can't. Dude, what is an aquatic bird?
Obviously, it's not a duck. We could rule that out. A swan. I don't see a swan here.
Yeah, like, okay, so
what else is aquatic bird?
You're telling me that's a duck. What we were just looking at was
a duck.
Or like a swan. Like, what are you? Are you kidding me?
That's what I mean. Like, it's he's saying it's legit. It's not, you know, it's because he even says it has horns. But then he's like, well, my conclusion is that it's a duck.
My conclusion is that it's a mutated duck that grew to be larger than a Cadillac.
Yeah, everyone's like in the chat, everyone's like, what is an aquatic bird?
That's I've never he doesn't like literally, I can think of like one aquatic bird, like bird. That's a duck. So, like,
we just cut him off. He was about to say maybe a goose or something else.
One of those Canadian goose. Look out!
I mean, but what is sticking up out of? It's not its feet because it's not webbed. This thing is pointed. It's pointy ears, so it's not webbed feet.
Aquatic bird, whether it be a goose or a duck or something like that.
Whether a duck, a goose, or Ocopogo itself, the photo continues to keep the legend of the mysterious lake monster alive and well.
Reporting for Ocopogo News. Oh my goodness, that was hilarious.
Pretty funny stuff. Pretty funny stuff. All right. No, that leads us into our Bigfoot conversation. Yeah. Okay.
People in our chat are saying that it looks like a water dragon or a Chinese dragon to them.
It does.
Yeah, it does. That's
exactly what it looks like. I mean, my first thought, when I saw it, you know, I opened up a photo and or the article and I just saw that. My first thought was like, oh my God, this is like a dragon. I mean, it just perfectly is a dragon. So I don't know. I don't really get a duck from a dragon, but, and there's all kinds of Chinese legends. And actually you can find on YouTube, whether they're true or not, you can find people spotting dragons in China, and there's all kinds of forums and blogs and posts all about it, you know? So to them, it's not really that uncommon. And dinosaurs used to be called dragons prior to them changing the name to dinosaurs after
scientists finally had Marxism. An excuse for how they were real. We'll just change it to dinosaur.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, they were dragons all before that, which no one ever mentions, surprisingly. So there you go. All right. So we're actually running out of time, and I thought for sure we were going to get through this because there's this awesome Bigfoot that was spotted by an Eagle observation camera. This thing has been watching. This is an official camera that has been watching eagles, and literally it captures a Bigfoot. And this has been censored on Google, actually. So, Rob, why don't you tell us what we're going to get into on Rise TV?
All right, y'all. So we're about to leave Rumble and head over to Rise.tv, where we'll dive deeper into this topic and bring you an official looking document about Bigfoot. And if you thought a few alien reports and cryptid sightings were it, then just wait to hear what we're going to talk about on our private platform. So join us right now on Rise.tv for just $9.99 a month, and you can support our work. You'll get to ask us your questions during the live Q&A. And don't forget that your support here actually lets us do these deep dives and bring you the truth that censors just don't want you to hear. So now, speaking of weird creatures that aren't Ben or Rob, check out this trailer on Aleister Crowley's Loch Ness Rituals, which is also on Rise.TV airing tonight. So check it out.
9 o'clock tonight.
9 o'clock.
Monsters of the seas were long thought to be myths. But some magic hunters sought power for themselves, believing that old legends held secret truths. Why did the famous occultist Aleister Crowley make his home on Loch Ness, which later became famous for its elusive creature? Why are there so many paranormal sightings in the area? What other creatures of the deep have been spotted in Scotland that are largely ignored or considered local folktales? The human mind enjoys impressive visions of unearthly creatures. Now then, the sea is precisely their best medium, the only setting suitable for the breeding and growing of such giants, next to which such land animals as elephants or rhinoceroses are mere dwarves. Find out what creatures may be a lot closer than 20,000 leagues under the sea. Join Edge of Wonder for a deep dive into the cryptids of the abyss.